Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
It's rare that the reputation of a golf course overshadows an international golf competition that it's hosting, but that might be the case of the historic Country Club in Brookline. So writes New York Times sports writer Peter May. He's covering this week's 113th United States Amateur at the Country Club, and he wrote about its long history in today's paper. And Peter May, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you, Anthony. Happy to be here.
So tell us a little bit about the history of this club. As you wrote, this course really overshadows, in many ways, the event that it's hosting today.
Well, it does. I mean, and that's in part because the U.S. Amateur is not what it used to be back in the golden years of golf in the 30s and 40s. But this club holds the distinction of perhaps hosting the single most important golf tournament slash match in history, which was the 1913 playoff victory at the U.S. Open by a amateur caddy who lived across the street named Francis Ouimet, who beat the Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson of his era, Harry Vardon and Ted Ray, in the playoff. And it just revolutionized golf in the United States and brought it to popularity, or started the popularity trend that continues probably to this day. I mean, he's largely responsible for getting American golf up and running.
Well, I wanted to ask you about Francis Ouimet. So when he won that competition back in 1913, he defeated two British champions. And you quote a gentleman named Mike Trostel, the senior curator and historian for the USGA, who says that the American victory changed the whole complexion of American golf. How so?
Well, what it did is it put golf on the front pages of newspapers all across the country. And it was a big victory in the sense that an American, even a lowly American, as Ouimet was perceived to be at the time, could defeat the British at what they thought was their game. There's another quote in the story from a British writer at the time who said, you know, the Americans, you know, they might win a tournament or two, but they're never going to be any better than we are in our game. And that was the shocker of all shockers, was that an unknown, untested American caddy basically had beaten the two preeminent players of the time, who happened to both be English, and that just changed the whole dynamics. And I think the man that you mentioned, Mike Trostel, told me that 10 years after this win, golf membership in the United States had increased almost tenfold.
Mm. So that really was sort of the first foothold, in a way, that golf found in sort of popular appreciation in the U.S.?
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, if you wanted to go overly cliched on it, you could say it really was the shot heard around the world of American golf, because that's what got everything up and running. I mean, the people played golf at the time. It was kind of viewed as a genteel game, mostly in the Northeast, and it just, with the victory, just elevated the game to the masses, so to speak. Clubs popped up and membership just went crazy. And I think he said there were almost 3 million golf members 10 years after he won. And at the time he won, I think there were like 350,000. It's a remarkable increase.
So that's a claim to fame for the Country Club golf course there in Brookline. Tell us about that course today. What's it known for, or how would you describe it?
Yeah, well, its claim to fame today is still pretty much what it always has been. It was one of the five founding clubs for the United States Golf Association. The USGA continually comes back to the Country Club to host what it would deem to be its marquee events, which would be the U.S. Amateur, the U.S. Women's Amateur, and the U.S. Open, which they last held there in 1988. They tend to do things on the anniversary of the 1913 win. They had a 1963 Open was there 50 years after the fact. The 88 Open was there 75 years after the fact. This Amateur, obviously, is the 100th anniversary. There have been others that had not fallen on anniversary years, but they like to get their anniversaries to kind of rekindle the memories that the Country Club is responsible for. And it's a great test of golf. I don't think anybody would deny that. It encompasses 18 holes from two different tracks on the course. There's a regular 18-hole course, and then there's a 9-hole course. And the diabolical minds at the USGA took the hardest holes from the 9-hole course and got rid of the easiest holes from the 18-hole course and put them in there. So it's a really, really demanding layout for tournament play. And it looks the same as it did almost, you know, 100 years ago. If you see the pictures of Ouimet surrounded on the 18th green, the clubhouse looks the same, the green's the same. It sort of stood the test of time by really not changing at all.
Hmm. So this year's U.S. Amateur, 319 players. Tell us a little bit about what to expect.
It's hard to really figure that out. As we talk today, they just started the first round of match play. They had 2 days of qualifying where they cut the field down to 64, and it's pretty much like the March Madness right now. You win and you go on, you lose and you go home. Traditionally, it's been that the U.S. Amateur has been a glorified college invitational. The average age this year of the participants is little over 22. I wrote about a guy named Jay Siegel in the New York Times today who won it the last time it was in Brookline in 1982, and he was 38 years old at the time, and had tried and never won the amateur. That's all he ever wanted to do. He finally won it, and he finally won it at Brookline, and which made it even more sweet to him. That kind of guy really doesn't exist anymore. They do play, but predominantly the amateur now is the province of the top college players, the guys like Tiger and Phil, who both won this tournament before turning pro. And you've got an increasing number of international players who are qualifying and trying to, you know, get the U.S. Amateur too. And I mean international. They're from the Far East. They're from Europe. They're from everywhere.
All right. That's Peter May. He wrote this morning in the New York Times about the USGA's U.S. Amateur, which is on this week at the Country Club in Brookline. You can find a link to his piece at radioboston.org. And Peter May, thanks so much.
It's my pleasure.